Glory. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Now glory to his name. So thank you. Glory to his name. We bow down. We worship you, O Lord. We bow down. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Glory. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. We worship you, O Lord. We bless you, God. Father, we magnify you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we call you holy. We call you righteous. We thank you that you're all that to us, God. Thank you for our submission, God. Thank you for the heart to serve you, to worship you, to obey you. God, we surrender and submit to the will and to your way. For Father, you said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, I bless you for being the way. And Father, we stand in agreement with you to say yes to your will and yes to your way. We ask that you would anoint each and every one of our ears to hear. Thank you that our heart is fixed and established and trusting in you. And God, we submit to say, thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You may have your seats. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, my God. They said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes, sir.
There is liberty.
Yes.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Is he with you? Come on, somebody. I wish I could start right there. I preach that. Is he with you? Because where the Spirit of the Lord
is,
there
is.
So it's indicative of wherever he's at. So the question is he with you? Well, that's not why we're here tonight, though. Glory be to God. Are you ready for the word? Are you really ready for the word? You know what? I thought about that. I meditated on this concept. Are you ready for the word? I'm not saying, are you ready to hear the word? Are you ready for the word? Because when the word comes, yeah. Go to Psalms 105. I'm just going to give you this one to put in your pocket on your way home so you can eat on it when you're by yourself. Because this is a powerful text to me. I just like this text because every time I think about when I can't get next to something, can't get near something. Have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't get close enough to it? I couldn't get there on time. I may not make it. Psalms 105, you can just put this one in your repertoire and keep it for yourself later on. Look at verse 19. That's not even why we're here, but I'm just giving you this. Amen. It says, until the time that his word, what? And the word of the Lord tried him. Until the time that the word came, then the word of the Lord. So if I can't get to a situation, if I can't get to a loved one, until the time that the word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The Bible says, and he sent forth his word and healed him. All right. So you can send the word to go do what you can't do.
All right.
Come on, somebody. You don't have to be at every situation on every scene. You can send the word. And the word of the Lord can try, means it can bring the situation into a legal courtroom and address the matter.
All right.
Or the word of the Lord can deal with a person. You know how you're trying to deal with them? But you can send the word, and the word would try them. The word will wrestle with them. The word will convince them. The word will convict them. The word will confront them without you even being there. So he said, you can send forth the, you can't get to every situation. I can deal with the spirit, I can deal with the person, and I can deal with the outcome. Just by speaking the word. Ain't that powerful? When you think about it and you use it, you can send the word without you even being there. And the word would do the same thing as if you were there. Because if you there and you ain't speaking the word, ain't nothing happening. No way. So are you ready for the word? Some folks ain't ready for the word. They ain't ready for the word because the word gonna try you, deal with you, convict you. And I'm not always ready for the word. I may be ready for you, but I can't wrestle with the word. It's a fixed position. Ain't no negotiating, debating, or discussing. When you speak the word legally, you can deal with it. Is that all right? Now let's go and do what we came here for, amen. Now go to Genesis chapter 1. Amen. And we're going to pick back up on where we left off on last week in regards to dealing with this subject. And I told you we got to work this out. The five pillars of grace to growth. See, you need these five pillars of grace to grow. If these pillars here are operating in your life, it will produce growth. And it would even tell you what stage of growth you're in. Because some people are wondering, why am I not growing? I'm coming. I'm giving. Come on, somebody. But I'm not growing. See, growth is not indicative of a tenure, longevity. Growth is indicative of maturity, development. Amen. How can you tell a tree is growing? You want to see some maturity, some development. If that tree's still in that ground with that one little thing sticking up, after a whole season, something wrong. Because I'm looking for some type of growth. I'm looking for something to tell me to identify that is growing. Are you with me? Now, in Genesis chapter 1, I'm not going to, because I got to get all the way up to where I'm going, so I'm going to bring you back to where we got off so that we can get back on. In Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the five points that we brought out in terms of verse 28. Let's read them together and read them out loud. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and read. He said, be fruitful. But wait. He said, and God said. See, now, we don't want to walk back through it because the points is there. It validates that you should have what you said he had. Because it said, and God blessed them. And God said unto, amen, God blessed them. He blessed you before he even told you. You know, one of the things I love about God to show you that his integrity is to bless you and take care of you. He give you first before he asks something from you. So he's already proved that you can trust me, you should follow me, because why? I already blessed you. So there's no reason for you to not follow me. There's no reason for you to not trust me, for no reason for you to doubt me. There's no reason for you not to obey me, because I've already blessed you. So that means that your obedience is not what's regulating the blessing. Because I did it before you done anything. Your obedience is just the attitude of gratitude because I blessed you. Did you get that? See, you don't obey because you're trying to get something. That's the wrong spirit. You obey because he already gave you something. And your attitude of gratitude is, thank you. So I submit to you. I respect you. I obey you. Why? Because you already honored me. Yeah. I'm not doing it to get the honor. I'm doing it to show the honor. Revelation of a difference. See, some people try to do right to get blessed. And then they wrestle along because they can't figure out or maintain the blessing because they can't keep doing good. But when you understand he already blessed you. And then God said, be fruitful. Multiply. See, now I'm giving you the pillars of growth. Be fruitful. Multiply. Then he said, replenish. Subdue, then have dominion. Now this worked not only in your home. Well, you know, let's really start back to the genesis of developing growth, because some people would be more obedient in church than they are at home. Come on now. Some people are more loyal to the church than they is their family. And that's out of order. Because the first principle of subduing is subdue yourself. If you want to control anything, the first thing you want to control is yourself. See, control your soul first. Don't talk about taking nations and kingdoms if you can't take your soul. Come on now. You know the due order. Amen. It's first your relationship with God. Then it's your relationship with your spouse. Come on now. Don't treat the church better than you treat your husband and your wife. Don't respect pastor better than you respect your husband. Wow, we'll go to this church right here. We'll go to this church right here. I feel we got some members in this one. Come on, somebody. Don't respect the pastor more than you respect your husband or your wife. Come on, somebody. But then now it goes from your relationship with God, your relationship to your marriage, then your relationship to your job. I ain't going to work because I got to pray. No, we got some folk. I'm just some folks so far off. They sound good, and if you don't know the difference, well, he must be spiritual because the Lord told him don't go to. The Lord ain't told you don't go to. Because you got to know the way of the Lord. God ain't going to have you to disrespect your commitment to your home and your marriage and your job to say you, because now the people hate the church. Amen. You got some people, they spouse hate the pastor. Because you the one keeping my wife, my husband. They tell me they ain't coming home because they got to do something for you. No. If you put it in order, I tell you, you'll see a grace that'll fall upon your house, your marriage, and your finances. If you put it back in order, amen. So he says, be fruitful, multiply. Amen. Now watch this. I'm dealing with this fruitfulness, and I'm going to close out this fruitfulness tonight because I want to add this extra leg to this fruitfulness. Because if we don't understand fruitfulness, you could never go to maturity. Amen. And I'm not just talking about fruitfulness in the connotation of I get more money and I got two cars. That's a measure of fruitfulness. But the fruitfulness is compound that covers all your areas is the development of, again, the person. See, you've got to bear fruit. Are you still lying, cussing? Come on, somebody. Are you still, come on. You should have some fruitfulness in your maturity in regards to what have I died to this year. Because I can drive the car and still cuss you out. I can get the promotion in the church and still be dipping and slipping and tipping. Because, see, I got promoted, but I didn't bear fruit. And that's what can happen to ministries and ministers that get promoted. And if the fruit is not there, then the ministry becomes bigger than the minister. Yeah. Amen? So he says, be fruitful. So the first thing is, let's deal with the fruitfulness. Go to John. Let's go back to John because we want to work this out now. I'm headed towards this second part. Amen? If you work with me, we're going to get there. If you don't work with me, it's going to be part three already. I can see it coming because I got to get it out. Because, see, this is where we're going to see. Watch this. Watch this. The dominion that God has given unto us is what he's already given us. It's the authority over yourself. Oh, I work right here now. See, some of us can't conquer self, but we climbing corporate ladders. No, this is, I'm, God help us if we don't get this. Because see, that is called a pressure test. As you go up the ladder, it's not how much you know, not the degrees you got. It's how much pressure can you take. This is what this, I'm going to show you right here. Do y'all like going in this Bible? I was reading this last night and it showed up again. I was picking up some lumber just to go and keep the fire going because I was studying. I got in there and started pulling apart some stuff. And next thing I know, I saw another nugget just jump out at me. And I say, ooh, wait. Have you ever seen something you said, ooh, wait? Because see what it was, it wasn't a nugget of revelation that was so profound that I had to share. It was a mirror. Elder, can I work right here? Yes, it was a mirror that stood up and looked at me. Yes. And when I looked in the mirror, guess who I saw? I saw me. Yes. See, this is why, see, you don't study the word. Yes. The word studies you. All right. If you keep reading this word, it's going to start telling you about you. The revelation you getting is about you. It ain't the revelation what Jesus did. All that's good, but when he get finished talking, he talking to you. That's the biggest revelation you're going to come across because that's the one that's important to you. What happened to Moses, that's all good, but that ain't going to have no effect on you. And you know he's talking that parabolistic concept, so he's speaking in terms to be able to get me to look at me. So when I got to digging and I saw that nugget and it was shining, I thought it was the glycerin of the nugget and it was just the light on the mirror. Yeah. And I pulled up on it. You ever? Whoa! Because I wanted to hurry up and close the book because I wasn't looking for me. I looked for you and you. You know, Rumper Room, Ricky and Bobby and Sue and Sam. But I wasn't looking for. And when I looked in there and saw me, I was ready to close the book because we in too deep now. Is this all right?
Amen.
Yeah. It ain't no good if it don't help.
That's right.
Don't tell me you got a revelation to help me. My question, did you get one to help? How you keep going in there getting a revelation to help? Did he say anything about why you was in there? Well, you might have came out too quick. Yeah, you can't keep going in there every day and get one on. Smile, it's going to get worse. Now watch this. Verse 1, he says, John, are you there? John chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He says, I am the, now I always investigate the text because, you know, when you talk to me, I'll be looking at you. You know, my wife say, I can tell, you know, because I listen to you, but my eyebrow done went up. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get this one look, all right, say on, because I done locked on you. Because you start talking and the verbiage change on me. Or the connotation change. You know how they start off with the pleasantry? Oh, bless him. How you? And then all of a sudden, you know, this is what the Lord told me about you. And I'm looking, you know, just like he was talking and he said, and we was approached the yard and the tree spoke to the vine. Wait, what is you talking about now? Because see, you started off, God is good and all the pleasantries, and then you shot to, and the Lord told me about you. So now you done changed my position of hearing. Because I was listening to you casually and just in agreement with you, but you shifted on me. And you directed and aimed the gun at me. So you know, if somebody aim a gun at you, you're going to look at them different. So now when God began to talk, I started listening because I'm listening to what he's saying. Because he said, I am the true vine. So now I'm asking the question, why you got to be the true vine? Because if you're making that statement, then it's indicative of there's a false vine. Or I use the truth standard connotation, there's a lying vine. If you're a truth, then a vine is a lie.
Ah, yes, sir.
So now I'm questioning the text, you the true vine, then that means that there's some vines that ain't true. Is it? Can you read this? So he says, I am the, he didn't say truth. He said, I am the true vine and my father is the, then I looked at the husbandman. Because the husbandman is indicative of the one that bands, holds together and secure that which is. So now if you're the vine, the true one, and the father is the husband, he's the one that's binding us together. He's making a statement to you. Because see, now if you don't stay within this continuity of this connection, then you're going to lose what I just promised you.
All right.
See, why am I not bearing fruit? I could have lost my connection.
Yes.
I'm no longer bound or in the band of what I submit it to. And I done went and got a false band. Because he had to remind me I am the true. So he's telling me I done got connected to another band.
All right. All right.
And not even knowing it. That was my problem. I didn't know that I had disconnected from the true one and got connected to a false one. I'm going to show you how it can happen even though I'm connected. Oh, is this good? Tomorrow, is this good? If it ain't, let me try to make it a little better then. He said, watch this. I am the true vine and my father is the husband man. And every branch, what?
In me.
Right there. Right there. Where the Spirit of the Lord
is,
there
is
liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord
ain't,
there ain't no
liberty.
And see, I don't know that I ain't because I'm not in.
Okay.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
See, I can be living off, but I'm not living on.
All right.
Can I help this right here, Elder? I can be living off him, but I'm not living on him, and I'm not living in him. Ooh, this is going to get good to me if you stay right here. Listen, I can be living off, meaning, let's define that because I'm making this cut. There's a cut that got to take place, and I'm living off him. Off is indicative of, if I'm saying in terms of fruitfulness, I can be living off the royalties of my last fruit. You know, when you get royalties and, you get annuity, you get benefits, you know what I'm saying? This comes to you indicative of or in spite of what you're doing today.
Right.
So it's like a check that's coming even though you're not working.
Right.
Because it's indicative of the work that I already did.
That's right.
So now I'm living off.
Yeah.
I'm living off what I did the last time. But I'm not living on him. Because if I was living on him, that's indicative of what I accomplished now. I'm living on my paycheck. Because that's the check I'm getting now. I'm living off of my retirement check.
Because that's the check I got for then for what I already done. But then I can be living in. This is the check I didn't even work for. Oh, y'all better come on. See, this is the check I didn't even do nothing for. Yeah, it'll come out on the tape. I didn't do nothing for this check. Hear me, y'all. Hear me. I can be living off my relationship. I can be living on my relationship. Or I can be living in my relationship. And see, if I don't understand where I got off, I don't even realize I'm off because I'm still getting something. Mario, I'm still getting something so it looks like I'm current. And if you don't know and didn't see the stub, you don't know where to. But I'm off. Because I'm living off. I'm not living on, and I'm definitely not living in. And I'm surely not living by. Oh, I preach this gospel right today. Because see, God is trying to show us how to get from one dimension to the next.
Right.
Yesterday, victory ain't good today.
All right.
It's just not. Because pretty soon it won't sustain.
Right.
The, you know, what you call it, colon? What you call it? A cost of living? Colon? Yeah. We get colons. Come on now. You get colons. You get cost of living in allowances. But watch this. But ooh, if you catch this, my colon. Oh, Lord. Let me, Father, I bind every colon spirit that's running through here that's trying to get up on me in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I done said it too many times. I take authority. I hear you right now because the devil is a lie. Okay, but my cola. Yeah. Let's get that spirit right. He keeps saying some. He think I'm calling him up. The devil is a lie. No. No. It's cola. Cola. Yeah, it's cola. Yeah. I felt that in the Holy Ghost. I felt something trying to come up on me.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all can laugh if you want to. Yeah, Lord. I just hit 50. The devil is a lie. Yeah. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Deal with it. Jesus, do all that. You know how they say, Jesus. Yeah. Do all that. Mm-hmm. But now let's get back to where we're going. The cola is a cost of living allowance. Watch this. Cola is almost adjacent to fixed income because it's what's distributed to you. But when you're living in him, you fix your income by your obedience. Because, see, God's grace is significant for your growth. He said, my grace is sufficient. So if you stay in the obedience of God, the grace of God is sufficient to give you what you need. But if not, I got to live off.
All right.
That's spiritual welfare. Come on, somebody. I'm living off. But if I'm going to put my work in, I can live in and not even just own. See, God's grace has been to pour out his spirit upon the people that are living in him.
Yeah.
That they're going to be able to start doing things because they're in him.
That's right.
I'm talking about obedience to the spirit of God going to release the fruitfulness of God.
All right.
And through the lack of obedience, this is where you'll find yourself living off. And living off does not constitute fruitfulness. Because you're not having no fruit. You're just eating off the fruit. And you're surely not going to multiply because there's no increase. Is this? I'm telling you, if you catch this by the Holy Ghost and begin to cooperate with the Spirit, He'll literally take you to your increase. But He will, He said, I'll supply and meet all your need. That's the living off. Because you can say you blessed if your needs are met. But don't you know it's some folk that's living past their needs? It's some folks that's living in the overflow. They're living in the abundance. They don't have the needs you talking about no more. The bills paid, gas paid. Come on, somebody. They got money. I mean, that ain't their need. But you got some folks that's still there. Because they haven't learned to get off. Remember we used to tell the folks and they used to encourage us, you got to get off welfare. Because now they are meeting your need. But at the same time, there's no increase. There's no fruitfulness in your life. You just getting your need. So we say, I'm gone. I'm going to leave home. I'm going to the army. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go. Why? Because I'm getting off this system. So I can get in the game of life. Well, that's the same thing happening in the spirit. We're not going to live off the Lord blessing me. Because He already told me I'm blessed. Oh, come on. You better. See, that's the hustling, the poor man mentality. I just want to be blessed. But you already. Your needs already. Are you going to live the rest of your life getting your needs met, or are you going to get in the overflow? Well, you in the increase. You in the more. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, this is real. And you got to learn to cooperate by bearing fruit. Because when you stop bearing fruit, you stop growing. And if you stop growing, you stop showing. Nobody can tell you've been in this thing 8, 9, 12 years because there's no fruit in correlation to the time.
Right.
God said, I'm ready to take you to your next level, but you got to submit and you got to allow me to do this cut. Let's get to the, yeah, you thought I left the cutting alone, didn't you? You thought I was going to talk about fruit all night. They were just so happy. Now I'm going to get back to the cutting. Because if you don't get cut, you can't bear. You just can't. You just can't. Tell your neighbor, you just can't. And you won't. Watch this. And this is why He made the statement of the true vine. Because when you don't want to get cut, you go look for another vine. Yeah. Because you want it without the cut. I haven't even got out of this one text, and we almost out of time. But let's go ahead and get into this. Are you ready? He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth what?
More.
Now, I even looked at this text because I thought about the statement because He said two contexts. He said one He takes away, and then one He purges. But the theologians defined it as two cuts. And it really is, because when you think about it, if you take it away, you got
You know, ball players, when they get on the squad and da-da-da, they come to practice or didn't come to practice, and you saw them in the suits and their shirt, but then they ask you, what happened to my boy? Ain't he on? No, he got, they took him away. He got cut. Amen? But then they say, well, oh boy, he playing good, man. But they got him down at the camp, and they cutting on him. Because they said, okay, now that we selected you, you got to bear more fruit. You can't stay with the same level of fruit you had when I chose you, because I didn't choose you to stay here. I choose you because I saw the potential that you can go further. So now we got to begin the cutting process. We got to put our work in you now. We need you to come, run 20 laps, push up. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm getting you ready to bear more fruit, because you can't bear no more fruit from where you at. That was the fruit you had to get in. But that's not the fruit you're going to need to stay on.
All right. Yes, sir.
Now you got to make the cut. The other one got cut.
Yeah.
Because now you're on the team. You know, got played in the NFL. But you know, everybody wants your spot. So now you're on. Hey, calling family. Ooh. But training start Tuesday.
Yeah.
And you got to make the cut now. Come on, somebody. Because you could be on. But never play.
Yeah.
Or you third string.
Yeah.
Which is equivalent to not playing too. You don't never get out there. Your suit ain't got dirty yet.
Yeah.
Now you can celebrate you get paid. But pretty soon that's gone. Because you ain't bearing. Everything is indicative of fruit bearing. Right. But he says, why here? He says, now watch this. Verse 3. Now, it says, now you are clean through the word which I have what? So now, you are clean through the word which I spoke to you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse, I think it's 23, 25. It says that he washed them by the water of the word. He says here, you are clean through the word that I spoke to you. So the word that I'm speaking to you now is cleaning you and cleansing you so you can make the cut. You're not just hearing the word, because he said he sent forth his word. Speak the word only. All this is indicative of letting you know the powers in the word to prepare you for the cut. So the word I'm speaking to you now, if you adhere to this word and comply and obey, you are being prepared for the cut, which is going to produce the fruit. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now watch. Here's the instructions. Abide in me. Now since I done cleansed you, every time the word of God is preached, it's the potential for the performance of the power of God. So now the potential is available. You can't talk about what I couldn't do, what nobody let me do. I didn't get a chance. All that is dead now, because the word has been released. And if you got faith in the vine, the husbandman, and I've already blessed you, if you got faith in that, and if you obey the word, it's going to deal with combat, contend with what you could not do.
All right.
See, the word is to take you from where you at to where you supposed to be, or what he promised you to be. But what you got to do is abide by the word.
All right.
You can't let the word fall into the ground and die.
All right.
The Bible says wisdom crieth in the streets. Meaning God is speaking all this, but we're not doing nothing with what we heard. Then you can't say it don't work, or you can't say I didn't have a chance, because you was looking to do something. But he said, not live off me. That's what you already earned. Not live on me. That's what I'm talking, but live in me. Meaning, let me do it for you.
All right.
See, you're looking to do it and justify that you made it work. But when you live in him, then he does the work for you. He says it's through Christ. So what does that mean? Meaning that I'm living off of what he said
he's done. My responsibility to the commitment is just to obey.
All right.
Trust and obey, not to perform, not to go make it happen.
Yes.
I'm just to follow his instructions. That's your work. When you ain't in him, you got to go do the work. Can you get in this? This is why it's hard for us to live by faith, because we're so used to doing something to get something.
All right.
Faith says you don't have to do nothing. Faith says just obey what I tell you. That's what you do. Not to do something to get something. You obey what I tell you because I've already done it. So now you're living through.
All right.
You're living in. This is, I mean, if we can, because see this, our mind can't wrap around this. Because I'm still trying to figure out, well, when do I do something? When do I don't do something? Why, what is my responsibility? What is your responsibility is to hear and obey. That's all you got to do, but that constitute work from God's point of view. From man's point of view, you got to go do the work and then hope for the results. God's point of view is you do what I tell you and the work is already done. That's where grace and favor comes in at. We don't understand favor and grace in our Western culture, because see, we're taught you got to work.
Yeah.
I can't get that, because how did I get it? They not just going to give me that. That just don't work like that. It's got to be a trick to that. But faith says it's yours. God said, I've already blessed you.
All right.
So now I just need the instructions to the blessing. If you already did it, then it's already there. Now, I just need you to show me what you already done. And I got to take you at your word that it's happened already. So when you tell me what to do, I just act on it because I believe what you said. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things. Those that come to God must believe that he
is.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek is to pursue, trust, and obey. So if you trust him and obey him and be diligent, he provided for you. And once you come to discover that all you have to do is obey, you know, your children do it real good. I fix dinner and they're going there to eat. They ain't cook nothing. They run from wherever they're at to run all the way in there because they took you at your word. They go in there with an appetite, and then when they get, where is it at? They ain't going there talking about I'm cooking. They say what? Where is it? Because you said it was in there. God said, I already blessed you. Now, this is what I want you to do. Go over there and they're not going to talk to me. I don't even supposed to be here. I don't have no papers, no degrees. I don't have that. But what did I tell you to do?
All right. All right.
See, right there, our minds, no, they came there because you know the rules here. You're living by faith. You're in another system. The rule is faith now. He said, verse 4, abide in me and what? I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in. Now go to John chapter 12. Now, remember we talked about the fruit bearing. There's two levels, right? And we talked about the cutting. You're going to get cut if you bear fruit. You're going to get cut if you don't bear fruit.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Now, let's break this cut down. Because, see, the cut can have a negative connotation. It hurt. This going to hurt me. This going to, no, the cut is not to hurt you. It's to develop you. Say, help me.
Help me.
Help me.
Help me.
Say, help me.
Help me.
Help me.
Help me. Right.
See, because, see, I need somebody to help me.
Yeah.
Help me.
All right.
See, the cut is to help me. Help me.
All right.
See, when you disobey, don't take the cut. You hurt yourself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you to help yourself. Because, see, there are some things we got to cut.
All right.
People, habits. Come on now. You know, little flavors we got, attitudes. I'm getting too old. There's some people I got to cut. You was cool last season. I mean, really. Because I believe God put people in your life for a season. But we try to, oh, that's my boy, that's my girl. I'm taking you to my next season. No, it's not conducive for you. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's all about have you ever took somebody to the next season in your life and you try to figure out, why is they there? Because, you know, when you get to flowing in the new season, new thing, new mannerism, new opportunity, and they coming with you, but they don't fit. And you trying to put them in the bag. You want to put them in the car. You trying to tell them, stay right here till I get back. But really, I'm carrying them because they don't. I got to pick up my new people on my new level. Come on, somebody. You know, y'all in something in the military, you know how you transition and go from one location.
Yeah.
Now, you love the people you met when you was there.
Yeah.
But they can't go with you when you get ready to move.
All right.
Now, you know I love you, girl. Me, I ain't never had nobody. We was able to do it like this. But I got to go next week.
Yeah.
And you know you can't go with me looking like that. You don't fit in the next move. But you was a blessing this move. It's all good. I wish you well, love you, take care of yourself, do what you do. But I got to be big enough to go. I'm not going because y'all don't understand. That's my girl. I ain't had nobody talk to me like the way we can talk. You better grow up. Because just like she was able to talk to you on this level, there's somebody on the next level waiting to talk to you from that level. Because, see, when I'm talking on this next level, me and her can't even talk. I got to condescend now. I got to come down now to kick it with you. Because I want to talk from my new place and you still talking. You picking stuff out your teeth. And you know I'm up in the place now. You know, I done come up to a little. And I'm talking about, hold that down. Get you some napkins or something. You sucking stuff all up here. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm embarrassed now because I brought you with me from the last move. And you don't fit in this new move. But I didn't know how to tell you, you know, it's over. So now I got you sitting next to me making all that noise. And we at the dinner plate. And I said, oh, no, God help me. And you know I love you, but I don't know how to tell you. Look, we can't keep doing this like this. So what I do is I stop calling you now. But see, you brought me. You should have just told me it's over. It was all good. I hope I bless you. You surely bless me. But I can't take you to this next
level.
You know, did y'all, you remember when I told you about my mistake? Yeah. God woke me up and spoke to me about relationships. And you know how you get involved with somebody and you, and the Holy Spirit telling you, leave that person alone. Leave him alone. Let him go. It's over. This ain't that. See, because, you know, a dog is a. See, when God was in the garden, he started naming folks. Adam, what is this? Adam said. He said, Adam, what is this? See, when we get folks and we get hooked up with them, we don't want to call them what we know they are. So we want to call them something else. That's my boo. Now, that ain't boo. That's a dog. He got three women. That ain't boo. I can't call you my husband because you know what that's supposed to mean and you know you don't fit that. So I got to rename you. That ain't my woman. So God said, you need to get rid of this relationship. But I don't want to let him go. I can't let it go. This just means too much to me. So now you done went to your next move. And now the relationship become a hindrance. And the person ain't made the change. And now it's a distraction and it's a disturbance. And so now when you go to meet somebody, instead of you walking up and telling them this Mario, you got to introduce them. This my this picking teeth. Now you got to tell them, this my mistake. Because see, when God told me to let it go and I didn't, now I got to live with it. So now I'm carrying it with me. And you know when y'all want to go and meet family? And they pull up in there. And you talking about, ooh, they like, who's that? Ooh, ooh. And you talking about Robin. Now, it ain't Robin. It ain't Susan. This my mistake. When I was supposed to let it go. Have you ever had a mistake? since God, am I doing any good? Have you ever had a mistake? Come on, somebody. And you had to introduce it to your peoples. And then have you ever had a mistake that wouldn't leave? Now, it's one thing to have a mistake, and I'm trying to tell it to go. But here's a mistake that won't leave. I done left it, dropped it off, abandoned it, neglected it, and it still come back. And I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm ready to move to another city. Talking about the Lord said. No, the Lord, he said the first time. But because of our disobedience, now you got to wait another whole season to get rid of that mistake. Because it can't go nowhere now because it's attached. Now watch this. Can I work with this a little bit, Joe? Because right here, I'm going to let you out of here right here. Because see, are you in John chapter 12? Y'all don't get to messing with me because I preach it right now. I try to be a little, dignified. Mario, quit. Watch this. Are you in John chapter 12? Look at verse 23. Pick it up right here. It says, 12:23. It says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Very, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth. Now let's dissect that and merge most of this text. Because he said, except a grain of seed fall into the ground. A grain of seed is indicative of an issue or situation or circumstance that you're dealing with. He said, now except it fall into the ground and die. See, remember he said you got to get cut. Told you last week, he got to cut my hands. Because see, I can't keep walking around picking up what I used to pick up. Because my hands are sanctified now. And if I don't acknowledge that my hands is sanctified and keep picking up unholy things, instead of it dying, the unholy thing, I begin to die. Because, see, what I refuse to let die begins to start killing me. See, if I won't let it die, the death process still going to take place. But it start killing me. See, God said, I got you. I'm trying to kill it. So you don't have to keep carrying it. But you won't let it die. And, you know, some of us doing what they call that necromancy. You know, the people that go down to the graveyard and go resume the dead, pick it back up, hugging on it. You know the dead things. I'm not just talking about physical dead. What have he killed in your life? And you done went and resurrected again. You're picking it back up. See, that's necromancy. That's them folk, you know. She said, don't go there. But, you know, that's them folk down at the graveyard laying up with a corpse. Got something dead. And you know how you can tell somebody got something dead? Because they start stinking. Yeah, yeah. It start. What's that smell? You know, when you get around some folk, because you can. You can smell. But then it start having dead reactions. It don't move. You know, when something dead, it don't what? Why me and you can't hold hands no more? I go to work right here. I can work. See, I can tell when there's something dying. Yeah, I know you're sitting up in here, but I'm trying to tell you, you dead. You don't even realize you ain't moving. You, 'cause what, dead folks don't move. They don't talk. When we stop talking. Something dying. And the Bible says it stinketh by now. See, it's been going on for a long time. You know, everybody want to walk around, lay hand on the sick. Can you resurrect the marriage? Oh, God help me. Can I preach this here? If you let the Holy Ghost, he'll begin to resurrect the marriage. He'll resurrect the career. Come on, don't. I know you missed it and you fell out and you messed up. But don't. If you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, you'll begin a resurrection. And then he, as the Bible says in Genesis, and he blew into their nostrils the breath of God. The pneuma comes back in there. And that's the life. Have anybody ever been breathed on? Have God ever breathed on your dead situation? And it started. Oh. Come, I'm trying now, if y'all get with God. See, some of us dead and we done declared ourselves. We done called the people. Don't call the people on me. Because I'm believing God for a resurrection. If Jesus got up, I can get up. Don't. Oh, y'all better hear me up in here. I'm a resurrected anointed. My anointing was resurrected. Yeah, I'm talking about what I know. He can breathe on you if you submit. It's them folks that wrestle got to stay dead. They wrestle and frustrate the grace. God said, I can't blow nothing up on them. Because they won't inhale what I'm exhaling. Because see, you can't keep, you'll fall out and faint. You got to. That concert too, come on. You ever seen anybody? Then you start getting dizzy because you can't keep blowing out.
Yeah.
You got to take something in.
Yeah.
My jaws get tired already. That wasn't but three little blows. No, that don't work. But when you, and you know what that really does? That calms you. Yeah. When your breathing is right. Yeah. Some folk breathing ain't right.
All right.
I told you last week their heart wasn't right. But now their breath ain't right. Yeah. No, I'm trying to tell you, some folk about to faint on you. When you see them walk around and they all stressed and pumped up, watch them. Because they're on their way out. Because they're stressed and they hyperventilate because they won't submit to the will. So all. And what you. Slow down, take a breath, breathe. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. You can't keep hearing. He breathing. And you ain't taking nothing in. But now watch this. I'm going to let you get out of here. This cut was indicative of the hand. Because he said, I want your hands to be clean now. So I sanctified your hands. So you can't go pick up dirty stuff no more. You can't mess with. Come on now. You got to leave the bottle alone because you got to hold it. You got to leave it. Come on. You got to leave the pornography alone because it's going to contaminate your hand. And you don't realize how I keep losing stuff because I keep desecrate my hands. Can I? But not only did he said the hands, he said, then you got to get cut on the feet. I got to cut my feet because I can't go everywhere no more. See, I'm trying to get to this multiplication factor by producing and bearing fruit, but I got to kill my what's killing me. Because, see, if I don't quit going over there, if I don't kill it, it's going to kill. Because every time I go over there, it takes something out of me. And you know one thing about a fighter, I used to box. I like boxing a little bit, just a little bit. You can't keep getting up in that ring if you're taking them whoopers. I don't care what that coach tell you. You go up in there, Doc. Man, when I went up in there, they beat me down. My confidence ain't up to keep getting it up in there. But now if I'm start winning something, I'm over in the court. Where he at? But you know, if you've been losing, you ain't made no noise. I'm talking about, who is he? Because you trying to see, man, give me that little joker, man. Just get my faith back up. Y'all keep going getting these gorillas, and I'm up here fighting. Look here. I'm 7-0. 0-7, there you go. I don't care how you say it, you ain't won nothing. And you know you ain't won. How many of us need a victory right now? Come on, somebody. I'm trying to preach you into this. See, the reason why you want to quit, because you ain't won. It ain't that you ain't blessed, you ain't won. Because you don't know how to die. You keep letting it live. God said, I'm here to deliver you and heal you. But you got to die. I can't heal you unless you die. I can't cut on you unless you quit moving. Because as long as you keep moving, it keep living. But not only that, he said your hand, your feet. But then you got to even cut your ear. Because see, I got to sanctify my ear. You can't keep running up on me and just dump it on me. I'm already under pressure. I'm already going. I don't need to hear no more stories about. I'm already fighting what I'm fighting. Then as soon as I get good, I done got pumped up. I feel like I can do it. And here you come and tell me about what you couldn't do and it socked you out. Then I'm like, oh, man, you know, I ain't got no chance. I even thought you was a little right, you know. I know you did what I did, but you ain't done what I did. And you talking about you ain't make it all what the, I might well go for what I know. No, I got to sanctify my ear that I need to hear. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the word. If you want to get out and out, you got to keep hearing word. I can't hear no defeated story. I don't want to hear that. Don't come and dump on me. Don't come and roll up on me. You know who holding, baby? You know who got the killer? I'm already being killed, man. And I was doing good. I almost made it to the house. You know, we used to say, man, them freebies will kill you because they get your car started. You was already on empty. You was on your way home. And oh boy, put you home. And now they're off. We won't see you. It'd be 3 more days. And you're wide open again. And everybody think you really don't want to win. But you almost made it home. Well, I'm like little Dorothy. I like to made it to grandma's house. If I could have got to grandma's house, you know, I was going to be safe. But I met one of them big bad wolves on the way to the grandma's house. Come on now. Because it was in my heart to get to grandma's house. Because I really want to shut down and quit. But I ran into something on the way. And it started my car. And now it looks like. Is this helping? See, the preaching ain't for you just to hear. It's to help you pull you up out of the pit. But you got to relate to the mirror. See, everybody want to hear the gospel, but don't see the mirror. It ain't really good news until it's good to you. Now, you'll celebrate if I talk about me. Yeah, you be shouting, yeah! Then when I call your name, you get silence of the lamb. You don't want to hear your name. Now, you'll shout by my name. You can even tell me a little revelation when it come to me. You got a revelation about you. Yeah, yeah. Why you in there? Watch this. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost here. Let me give you this last point. I'm going to let you go. One of the main things about the dying process, you know, you cut your hand, your feet, your ears. You even got to cut your mouth. You got to be circumcised. Because, see, your mouth is a wicked thing. And see, what one thing about the mouth, that's why people like to say, you know, speak, because you can hear yourself. But sometimes you don't even know that you got a raggedy mouth. Because you ain't talking to you. You talking to everybody else. Now, they can tell you your mouth raggedy, but you don't know your mouth raggedy because you ain't talking to you. But if you ever recorded you and asked you, would you let somebody talk to you like what you just heard? No, ain't nobody better not talk to me like that. Well, why are you talking to folk like that? So you got to circumcise your mouth. But watch this. The last point that we're going to get to is dominion. And this is the way you can tell dominion has taken place in your life. It's not by what you possess. Okay. Because you can get stuff and not have dominion. You can sell out. You can sell what you got. Come on, some. But the dominion is the power of God being demonstrated in your life. Not what you possess, because some people look like they got it. Come on now. And you think they got it because they told you they got it. Plus you see them with some. But my question is, how did you get it? Because, you know, right now you go on the internet and buy anything you want. I can have a degree tomorrow in psychology. I sure can. If I give up $1,800, I tell them, and then I tell them either overnight it. You know, at an accredited university? No, you can. Yeah. Well, you ain't wasting your money because you know something. Because I get a degree, I don't know nothing. I just look like I know something. Till you ask me a question or tell me go in the emergency room. And I'm like, oh, Lord. I can't go in there mess with them folks. I got to tell the truth. I lied. I brought that. Commander for bleeding and they hurting. And I can't go up in there like that. They call, come on, Dr. Ted up. I see that degree, hurry up. They just came in. Brother, you better call somebody because I ain't going up in there like, I'm telling y'all, I was playing. I'm just playing, man. I ain't got it. I can't go up in there fumbling with them folk. Well, you got people who, I'm telling you what I know. You got people who acting like they got it. No. And you, if Lord know we lie not. This is why God is teaching us. Not so that you can just, this ain't for the performance. Because see, if you got it, you don't have to perform. You just use it. But if you don't have it, you got to perform. Because you've been pretending. The people that got it, they don't fake it. Even with money. You know, people that got money, they ain't walking around here blinging in. The broke man got the bling because he got to make you think he got. The folk that got it, they don't even worry about money no more. Because they ain't got to prove I got money. They chilling. And then when a thought come to their mind, oh, let's do that. The man is, you know, he got to pawn something to do it. Because he got his all on. He own. It's showtime, Jack. But the person that got it, they don't. It don't. It's just a decision they make. Come on, somebody. When it comes to the things of God, you don't. I don't walk around here trying to strut the Bible. I don't have to. You don't have to. Because you got it. You know how I know you got it? When it's time to use it, you use it. But the folk that, you know, acting like they got it, they don't really want no action. They don't want to be in, you know, in the operating room because they can't operate. God is raising us up to be sons, men and women that know how. So you don't even have, you know, one of the things about Christianity is being content with the life you got. You know, when this get real hard, come on, tell the truth, is when you live in two lives. You know, it ain't hard for us if you just doing Jesus. You just do Jesus. But if you're doing Jesus plus in the daytime and the night, it's hard. Because you got to remember who you was. You got to remember what you did. You got to remember where you... Then you looking around when you go where you going. Make sure ain't nobody in here. I done seen. That's what I said, Lord, help me stay clean. Because I don't want to never have to look through the congregation. I can't even imagine what the preacher do when you up in there with all the women and whatever. How can you walk through the congregation? You get over here and your message shot. You can't preach over here because she looking at you like. And you slide over here because you know you done. You don't do like the dragging your lip all up here. Your tongue done went across your forehead. And the little kids know you like that. How can you get up there and preach every week? I would just be scared to death. Somebody say something. Do you understand what that? That's why I thank God. It ain't about being perfect. But God, I'm saying something, Lord, don't let me even fight. Because I can't, it shut your ministry down. How you going to preach? You can't do it. I mean, not in good conscience. You can't. You got to be messed up to walk around. The kids over there, you got to tell the little kid, don't call him daddy now. Because, you know, when he come to your house, he daddy. But that's somebody else daddy. But you playing the role, you know what I'm saying? So when he get over there, he can't. Little Johnny, trying to fill on you. Because he used to calling you that, you know, because that's how we do it at the house. Then you have to somebody else's house over here. So he said, you got to cut it. In order to keep this anointing, you're going to have to cut some things. God says, I'm going to raise you up and take you to where I want you to go. But I'm even allowing you to cut it. You don't have to. You get to. Because I could have let it kill you. But I didn't let it kill you. I'm giving you a chance to cut it. That's the mercies of God. What if we didn't get a chance? You know, if you sin, you through. How many of us be in here? None of us. We had to go and just let the Bible talk. Come on now, because that's just growth. But the grace of God affords you the opportunity to get your life right. Can somebody praise him for that right there? Thank God for his grace and his mercy. All right. Y'all know, let me shut this. If I do a believer's meeting, would y'all come? I'm talking about a believer's meeting, not a church meeting. Y'all got me on that 30, 40 minute. I'm talking about a believer's meeting. I'm talking about at least 2 hours, just at least two. Straight preaching. And then if we get happy, we'll stay a little longer. But you got 2 hours coming. I'm talking about in the word, y'all. See, if we don't get doctrinated, baptized in being in this word, you won't get used to the word. You got to condition yourself to stay up under that teaching. You can't, you know what I'm saying? Because now we'll leave right here. How many of y'all going to the movie when you leave here? Yes, you is. Thank you, baby. How many of y'all going home and watch TV when you leave here? Now, you know that program is at least 1 or 2 hours. And you got me under this time. I should keep going. Doggone that TV program. You know what? I'm going to believe God to get on the word next week.
Amen.
Come on. You ain't going to be able to get rid of me then. I'm going to take this, the gospel, as far as God wants us to go, y'all. But y'all going with me. I can't go by myself. Shout one more time. Because whatever God going to do, he going to do it through the church. And that means all of us going, all of us blessed, all of us going to our next level. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to be obedient. See, you got a purpose to obey. You can't just think I'm going to obey just because. You got to make up your mind to obey. If you don't make up your mind, you'll never obey. But when you purpose to obey, when the challenge comes, you've already made the decision. I'm going to obey. And God, by the Spirit of God, begins to change you and challenge you. And then he transforms you. Sitting right next to who you're sitting next to, they won't even see you transform into another person. Go to another level. Go to another dimension. Sitting right next to them. That's powerful to me. And it's happening. It's happening while we're sitting here. The Spirit of God is transforming us. We're not going to be the same person we was next year. You're not the same person you was last year. If you work in this thing, it works if you're working. You will not be the same person you was last year. You're not. I know you look like the same person, but there's been some increase in your life. They can't tell it all yet right now because they don't know how to detect it, because it starts from the inside and then works its way out. But then there's going to come the season where it manifests. It's going to be open and obvious that the work is completed in that area for that level, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, and even socially. Oh, you better hear that and receive it, because there's some work going on in all of those dimensions in your life. It ain't all about money. Some of us need our mind right. Some of us physically got to get healed. Spiritually, we need to do better. Emotionally, come on now, even socially. You know, talk to somebody. Befriend somebody. We so secluded and so messed up. Because you know, when you in sin, you hide. You don't want friends when you're in sin. Because you don't want nobody to bust you out. So you limit your activity of who all can detect you. But when your life is right, you can have people let them in. Because you're clean. But when you ain't clean, you don't want nobody around you. Because I don't want nobody tripping and, you know what I'm saying, stop this here. So you leave them alone, leave that alone. Pretty soon, you live in this little... And you slide through life like this. You only go that little path you go to, because you don't want nobody to bust you out. Give the Lord a hand of praise.